Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM. And 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be with you here on this Thursday. We're moving right through this week. It's gone by extremely fast, trying to get over the holiday hangover, and we have plenty to get into today, particularly on the local side of things. Now, the high school basketball season, it is in full swing. We've reached the midway point, and the Carbon Dinos will take on Tooele tomorrow, and then Carbon and Emory go toe-to-toe on Saturday in the second and final meeting between the two teams this year. And then we have Emory taking on Manti. That'll be tomorrow, actually. So a lot of high school basketball in the coming days, and we're going to dive into that. Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon Dinos will join us over the telephone, and we'll talk about Carbon's most recent trip. They traveled on the road for a three-day stint in Cedar City at the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic. They finished 1-2 on that trek, so we'll talk to Coach Wilson about that. Also, we want to get you set up for tonight. Can't stress this enough. You just don't see this happen every day in your own backyard. The NJCAA National Champs are rolling into town as we speak. Salt Lake Community College taking on the USU Eastern Eagles tonight, the Scenic West Athletic Conference opener. We haven't talked a lot of USU Eastern men's basketball as of late because they haven't played. They've actually been on a lengthy break since December 10th. Interesting scheduling. And now they jump back into action against the national champions and the number 12th ranked team in the country, the Salt Lake Community College Bruins. So we'll preview that game in just a bit for you as well. A lot happening on the local sports front. As far as the national scene goes, we got to start talking NFL football. Can you remember a more bizarre game to get things rolling than the Houston Texans in the Oakland Raiders? I mean, this is a weird game. It really is. And a lot of people are really discounting and making this game a joke. I think it's a strange game, but I'm actually looking forward to it. I really am. It's a 2:30 start time on Saturday. We get the Raiders. We get the Texans. The Texans were doing everything they could to get away from Brock Osweiler. Now they have no choice. They have to start Brock Osweiler, one of the more interesting playoff teams, to say the least, that we have seen in quite some time, of the Houston Texans. They'll take on the Raiders. Another Saturday matchup, it's Detroit at Seattle. I want to explore the two Saturday matchups, and then tomorrow we can talk about the Sunday matchups, which is Miami and Pittsburgh, and then the Giants and the Packers. I think the Giants-Packers probably packs the most punch for me as far as the NFL playoffs opening round goes. I'm really looking forward to that game. Although Seattle-Detroit could be interesting as well. We're going to talk NFL football. That's coming up in just a bit here on the show. Speaking of NFL football, the Redskins have made a couple of moves as far as their coaching staff goes. They fire three coaches today, including their defensive coordinator, Joe Barry. I don't know if it's a huge shock. I mean, the Redskins did not get into the postseason. They've also fired their secondary coach, Perry Fuel, a former defensive coordinator and defensive line coach, Robbie Ackey, as well. They let go of their strength and conditioning coach, Mike Clark. Their defense ranked 28th in total yards allowed in each of Joe Barry's two seasons as the coordinator. A day after the Redskins' season-ending loss to the Giants, Jay Gruden made it clear that Joe Barry's fate would be his call, and that there were other members of the organization who were not sold on Barry and his defensive style, which also led to the dismissal. So there'll be some coordinator changes in Washington. They were so close to getting into the postseason. As far as job interviews go, well, the Rams are continuing to try to knock down their search and find their guy. They're actually going to interview Bills interim coach Anthony Lynn Sunday in Florida. That's according to Mike Rodak, an ESPN staff writer. He said really nothing is imminent with the Bills and Lynn. He seems to be a very popular choice amongst teams looking for a coach, but the Rams will interview Lynn this weekend. The Bills, they've already interviewed him. So that's the lowdown and the very slow business and news day in the NFL. Really no hirings yet as far as head coaches. And you're not going to see any until teams start getting eliminated. Kyle Shanahan is going to be a head coach next year. Where? I don't know. But he's not going to take a job or he's not going to be offered a job until Atlanta is eliminated. And at the beginning of the year, I liked Atlanta to get to the Super Bowl. Wasn't too high on that prediction about midway through the season. They were showing some vulnerability. But I think they have a chance. I think they have a chance to get to the NFC Championship. With that being said, Shanahan's not going to get a job anytime soon. You look on the flip side, Matt Patricia and also Josh McDaniels, the offense and defensive coordinators for the Patriots. Those two potentially could be a head coach next year. I think Patricia's maybe another year, maybe 2 years away. To me, Josh McDaniels is ready right now. I mean, Shanahan and McDaniels are the two most ready coordinators in the NFL right now to take over a franchise. But again, he's not going to take a job until New England is eliminated from the playoffs. So I think it's going to be slow in that regard for quite some time as far as who's going where and taking a look at some of the vacancies that may be filled. Speaking of the NFL, here's a really interesting story. Tyrod Taylor, his situation with the Buffalo Bills. This guy is playing the game, and he's trying to take advantage of the incentives laced in his contract. Okay, so Tyrod Taylor, if he is on the Bills roster on March 11th, the team owes him a guaranteed $27.5 million for 2017. Laced in this contract states that Tyrod Taylor also has that $27.5 million guaranteed if an injury forces him out of action going into March. So if he does not pass a physical, he had groin surgery. If he does not pass a physical by March 12th, the Bills have no choice. They have to pay him $27.5 million. Now, the Bills have until March 11th to pick up his option for the 2018 through 2021 seasons, and that would guarantee him $30 million. And look, Tyrod Taylor said, I'm going to have groin surgery. I don't know if the Bills wanted him to, and I don't know if he could have gotten around it, but he had surgery, and because of that, there's a chance that Buffalo is going to have to pay this guy $27.5 million. See, we talk all the time about how teams find ways to maneuver out of paying money. Schools do the same thing. Bob Diaco, who was just fired as the head football coach at UConn, had a buyout clause of $5 million if he was fired before January 2nd. Okay, so UConn fires this guy. He has a buyout clause of $5 million before January 2nd. If he is still the head coach after January 2nd, that $5 million buyout clause dips to $3.6 million. What does UConn do? They announce, like December 28th, that he will not be back as head coach and he will be relieved of his duties on January 2nd. Before they get to January 2nd, they hire Randy Edsall to come back and take over the job. Teams and schools find ways to eke money and take advantage of contracts all of the time. And so this Tyrod Taylor situation, I completely agree with him. He felt that something was wrong with his body. That's the reason why you pay an agent to work certain clauses into your contract. He's taking full advantage of what the Bills gave him. Buffalo obviously does not want him to have the surgery because they don't want to pick up his option and have $30 million guaranteed on the books for the next three seasons. They don't have a choice now. Now, I'm sure they have some sort of an insurance policy on the contract if, in fact, he doesn't pass a physical between now and March 12th. But just a really interesting storyline. We don't talk about the business aspect of professional and college sports here on the show too often. But every now and then a story comes around that's just really interesting. And this one with Tyrod Taylor, it's actually quite funny. And again, I don't blame him one bit. I say get your money. Teams will do whatever they can. NFL contracts are the worst. You see a guy that signed, remember Darrelle Revis signed like a $100 million contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was like a 5 or 6 year contract worth $100 million, something along the lines. I vaguely remember the contract. None of it was guaranteed. I remember talking about it on the show, the large contract, but none of it was guaranteed. He played 1 year with Tampa Bay. They let him go. They paid him for one season. So that contract, that huge $100 million contract, meant absolutely nothing because none of it was guaranteed. That's the thing with the NFL. A good portion of these contracts are non-guaranteed. Tyrod Taylor, I don't even know the portion of his contract is guaranteed for next season. I know if they pick up the option before March 12th, he's guaranteed $30 million between 2018 and 2021. He takes matters into his own hands. Body doesn't feel right? He's going to have surgery. Let's move over and talk about the NBA schedule for tonight. We have a block of games at 5 o'clock. Brooklyn will be at Indiana. The Utah Jazz return to the court tonight to take on the Toronto Raptors on the road. Utah continuing their road swing. This game will not air on KOAL because tonight we have USU Eastern basketball. The Charlotte Hornets, they'll travel on the road to take on the Detroit Pistons. 6 o'clock tonight, New Orleans will welcome in Atlanta. We get Oklahoma City at Houston. Start time for that game is at 6 p.m. Nationally televised game on TNT. You'll get to see Westbrook and Harden go toe-to-toe. Phoenix will be at Dallas at 6:30. 7 o'clock tip-off tonight. We get San Antonio at Denver. And doubleheader action, nightcap on TNT. The Lakers on the road to take on the Portland Trail Blazers. Damian Lillard will be in uniform for Portland. We're going to break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. When we return, we'll be joined by Coach Kyle Wilson. Plus, we'll give you a local sports update. Thursday edition of the show here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
High school basketball has actually reached its midpoint, believe it or not, in the 2016-2017 season. That's a good thing, though. That means we're set for region play, and that'll actually tip off tomorrow night for the Emory Spartan boys basketball team. Tonight for the women, the Carbon Dino boys squad, they've had a quiet week, but they're looking to go out with a big bang. Tomorrow night, they'll take on Tooele at home. That's a makeup game, one that was previously canceled due to weather. And then on Saturday, the second and final showdown of the year between Emory and Carbon. That'll be at Carbon High School. Myself, along with Scott Labrum, will bring you the play-by-play call. I always look forward to that matchup. It's always so much fun when those two schools get together. Joining us right now to talk a little bit about tomorrow night's game against Tooele and what lies ahead against Emory, we have Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon Dino boys basketball squad. And again, they were busy during the Christmas break. They played three games in Cedar City following Christmas and in between New Year's. Coach, it's great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Definitely, Coach. It's been rather busy for you guys. You didn't get an extremely long break from for Christmas. You guys actually returned to the court last week. You guys traveled down to Cedar City for the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic. You guys finished 1-2, but I know the competition down there was really good this year.
You know, our first game we played Cedar, and they're a good basketball team. They're very well coached, well disciplined basketball team, and but at the same time, we didn't shoot the ball very well. I mean, I think we shot about 14 for 48 from the field and didn't shoot free throws well. You know, when you don't shoot well from anywhere, whether it's three-pointers or in the key or anything, we were just stagnant. It's really hard to win when you don't shoot the ball well. So, I mean, it was one of those nights, and unfortunately, it happened against Cedar. So.
The following day, you guys go up against Snow Canyon. Here's a closely contested game that goes down to the wire. Unfortunately, you guys are on the short end of the stick. Goes into overtime, where you guys had earned a victory once already this year in overtime.
Yeah, you know, they're a good team. They're a little young coming into it. They didn't have a whole lot of guys get some varsity experience last year, but they're a scrappy team. And I always hate playing against scrappy teams, especially when you're not playing all that well. Especially coming off a loss the night before, like it was, you know what, we missed free throws coming into that game. I mean, once again, we didn't shoot well from anywhere, really, and then we were nine of 16 from the line. So it's hard to win when you're not shooting well and not making free throws. I mean, getting to the line is one thing, but especially when you need to make them in a close game. You know, we missed quite a few in the fourth quarter. And it's just one of those things, though. We need to refocus and, try to come back and learn from it.
Well, you guys did get a win on Friday, the final day of the three-day stint for you guys against Providence Hall, 56-53. How did this game go, Coach?
You know, we had ups and downs in this game. They're not a bad basketball team. They're very, very well coached. They're fundamentally sound, and they're pretty athletic. I mean, we had times where we looked really, really good. We looked fantastic, and then we had times where it was like we took a whole different team and put on the floor, but with the same guys. I don't know. It was weird. We were just ups and downs in that game, and fortunately, we had enough ups toward the end that we were able to pull it off, and we shot the ball a little better that game, so it gave us a little momentum and gave us a little more confidence. But it was a good win because they're going to be in our region next year with the new alignments. So it was a good thing. It was a good team to play against at that point in time to see kind of what we have to play against next year.
For you guys, Coach, I mean, this was the first action that you guys had been involved with in about a week. Did you notice any sluggish play coming off of that 7-day break?
Yeah, I did. It's hard to come off a break like that and just jump right into a game, especially with no practice. But at the same time, the other teams, they have to do it too. I wish we could have had a few more guys getting some basketball in over the break. I talked to a few of the guys, well, most of the guys, and I had a few that didn't get a whole lot of basketball in, didn't have a ball in their hands, or if they did, it was just kind of lollygagging around. It wasn't, get your buddies together and play some competitive basketball. I think that would have helped as a team, but, we didn't, and we have to live with what happened with the results from that. So,
well, with that being said, there's no more breaks, throughout the remainder of the season. And in order to win a state championship, you're going to have to win three games in 3 days. So I'm sure the Cancer Classic was definitely a good learning experience, to say the least.
It was. We had a talk. We talked with the guys. We didn't say a whole lot about, the losses and things like that. I tried to build off that win against Providence Hall. And then when we came back Monday and had practice, I tried to get refocus the guys and kind of have them relay out their goals of what they need to do to accomplish that end goal, which is a state championship. I mean, it's like I said it before in the radio show a long time ago that, our goal, our ultimate goal is to win a state championship, and if that's not your ultimate goal, you shouldn't be involved, whether it's playing or coaching basketball. But I think we kind of reevaluated the situation, and I made sure they knew what I expected and kind of got to see and talk to them about what they expect from themselves, after the main part of the preseason and coming into region. I mean, they understand that, it's 8 games in a region, so it's going to go by quick, and we got to make sure we're focused and bringing our A game and playing our best basketball starting hopefully starting, this week, but, if anything less, next week, next Wednesday, and we go to North San Pete to play.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast this season is going by. Really, we're at the halfway point right now. You guys should have a makeup game with Tooele on Friday and then Emory on Saturday. Two fun games, and obviously the guys will have an opportunity to get some revenge on Emory, this time at home, and I know that's always a really fun environment. Smaller gym, it's always really loud, and I believe the last time Carbon beat Emory, it actually happened on that floor.
Yeah, it did. There was, it always been 5 years ago, I think it was, we beat Emory twice that season, and the last one was at home. So it was a good win for, then, and we'd like a little revenge on them. Emory's always got a good basketball team there. They're well coached with Coach Jeff's doing what he does, and he's very fundamentally sound. And, it seems like he always gets good teams to play really good. So it'll be fun, a fun environment playing, like you said. Obviously, we're hoping for the win, and I think it's a really good possibility, especially if we shoot the ball well. We got a couple different guys that are kind of starting to come on right now, especially after that last game against Providence Hall. Had some guys step up and start doing some good things. So if we can put one together, it should be a good win for us, and hopefully it goes that way.
You've played competitive basketball. You've coached in competitive basketball for a long time. Talking to Coach Jeffs, he says, you know, the Carbon Emory game, it's the closest environment that kids will get to a state championship game without playing in the state championship. I think that assessment is 100% correct.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, I told the guys last game when we went over there before the game, I said, you can't get too hyped up for this game. You know, it matters, but at the same time, it's not make or break in our season. But it's hard to convince guys of that because it's Carbon Emory. So they do get hyped up for it, and as they should. If they didn't get it, you know, hyped up for it, if as a coach I didn't have to try to talk them down a little bit, then they shouldn't really be playing basketball, because that is one of those games where, you know what, the crowd's going to get into it. You're going to get, you know, some tempers flaring at some point or another. It's going to be loud no matter which gym you play at. And you know, it is. It's a state, you know, state tournament, state championship environment that, you know, luckily we can have that environment, you know, once or twice a year.
You just talked about this game not being make or break. I mean, obviously, it doesn't count towards anything as far as the region standings go. But looking at it from a mindset point of view, how important would a win over Emory be going into region? I mean, that could be a lot of momentum that you guys could carry over with a victory on Saturday.
Oh, I think it'd be huge. I think it'd be a big confidence builder, you know, that's the main part. If we can beat Emory, you know, like you said, Emory's got good basketball teams, and we've struggled against them the past few years at varsity level, and if we could get a win against those guys, it'd give us a big confidence boost and kind of that chip on that shoulder and that edge we need going into region play.
Definitely. So again, Coach Kyle Wilson, our guest of the Carbon Dino Boys basketball squad. Coach, now that we've kind of been able to play out this year a little bit, I mean, Region 12 is going to be very competitive. You and I have talked about this multiple times. I don't feel that your basketball team has reached their full potential or played their best ball yet. I'm sure you would agree, right?
Oh, I agree, hands down. It's we talked yesterday about this, that any game we've played in, I feel that we've had the opportunity to win. We have got blown out twice. Once again, South Sevier, and they played really well, and I don't feel like we were prepared for that game, and that's my fault with that. And then the Cedar game coming off a break, you know, we only put up 33 points in that game, and that we held them to 50, I believe. And you know, we can hold teams to 50. I'm okay with that, but we got to score more than 33 points. And you know, these guys understand that. You know, we've been in most of our games, and we've had the opportunity to win most of our games. And I think they're starting to understand, you know, what it's coming down to the wire here, especially for these seniors. And they need to kind of make sure all their focus is on, you know, the task at hand, and do whatever it takes to win.
It seems like it's very difficult to lose a game when you score 60 points in high school basketball, especially at this classification. If you score 60 points, odds are you're going to get the win. You guys have eclipsed that 60-point mark a couple of times this season, and you've been very close to that mark as well on several occasions. I'm sure if you're around that threshold, you've got to feel confident.
Yeah, we are. I mean, I looked at the stats today after updating them over the weekend. I think we're averaging, I want to say 54, 56. It's one of those two numbers a game. And, you know, and that's with, and I'm still very confident in our team, because that's with not shooting the ball extremely well. If we can kind of start finding the basket on a few things and refocus, like I've been saying, and figure out what we have to do to win, I mean, and that's making shots. So have some confidence, make a change in something, but so we can make some shots, I think we'll be just fine.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the sky's the limit for this team. Coach, I really do appreciate you taking out the time once again to join us on the air. Best of luck this weekend, especially in the game against Emory, and we will talk to you again next week.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Again, Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon Dino Boys basketball squad. Tomorrow, they are at home to take on Tooele. And then on Saturday, they'll take on the Emory Spartans. Tip-off for both of those games set at 7 p.m. We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. We'll talk some NFL playoff action.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Just another note coming out of the NFL. The San Diego Chargers have announced that they've completed the first interview for their vacant head coaching position. Tampa Bay Buccaneer DC Mike Smith is who they interviewed. That took place today. I talked about the head coaching vacancies and the top jobs. At Charger job, you got Phillip Rivers, you got Melvin Gordon. I like it. I just don't quite like it as much as the Denver Bronco job. Let's stick with the NFL, but talk playoffs once again. Last segment, we talked about the Raiders and the Texans. How about this second matchup that we get on Saturday? It'll be Seattle and Detroit. I don't know how the Lions made the playoffs either. Jim Caldwell saved his job. And I'll tell you why he still has a job. Matt Stafford's pretty good. He's a pretty good quarterback. Jim Bob Cooter has done a terrific job as offensive coordinator. That's why Jim Caldwell still has a job. But you look at this matchup. The Detroit Lions are the only team in the NFL in the postseason to have not beaten a team in the postseason. Does that make sense? You look at each team's playoff record against other teams in the playoffs. The Patriots and the Seahawks have the two best records. New England is at 4-1. They beat the Dolphins twice. They beat the Steelers, and they beat the Texans. They lost to Seattle. Remember the Gronk play in the corner of the end zone? Seattle is at 3-1. They beat the Dolphins, the Falcons, and the Patriots, but they lost to the Packers. The Packers are 5-2. They beat the Lions twice. They beat the Giants, the Texans, and the Seahawks. They lost to the Cowboys and Falcons. At the bottom of this list, we have the Raiders, the team we just talked to. They beat the Texans, but lost to the Falcons and the Chiefs twice. The Lions are 0-5 against playoff teams. Did not beat a single playoff team this year. Lost to the Packers. They lost to the Texans. They lost to the Giants, the Cowboys, and again to the Packers. So to say that Matt Stafford and the Lions have really benefited from some good fortune and really taken advantage of some bad teams on their schedule, yeah, that's accurate. They're 9-7, 0-5 against playoff teams. But again, Matt Stafford's pretty good. I mean, he's carried the majority of the load because the run game has not been good for Detroit once again this season. Stafford has thrown for 4,327 yards. And really, his efficiency has been pretty good. 65% is his completion percentage. 24 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, been sacked 37 times. But his quarterback rating's at 93. It's not too bad. Rushing, here's where it's been a problem for Detroit. Leading rusher on this team, Theo Riddick. 92 attempts for 357 yards. That's Detroit's leading rusher. And to make things worse, Theo Riddick will not play in this game on Saturday. He's on the season-ending injured reserve. He was placed there this past weekend. So, not good for Detroit. They're not going to be able to run the football. They haven't been able to run the football all year long. You know, Amir Abdullah has been hurt as well. He's only had 18 carries on the season, and I think that that was the guy that a lot of people were expecting to have a breakout year. Zach Zenner, you're going to see a lot of this kid. He's got 334 yards and four touchdowns on the season. He's going to be the guy for Detroit. I don't see how the Lions win this game. The Seahawks are 7-1 at home this season, well-positioned to take advantage of several soft spots in Detroit's defense. Russell Wilson should have a heyday going up against this defense. You look at statistics, and the Lions are allowing opponents to complete 72% of their passes. How bad is this Detroit secondary? Here's a stat now if you look at it. We were talking about how historically bad the Los Angeles Rams offense was. Since the merger, they netted like the 16th fewest yards in NFL history. That's how bad that team is. That's how bad that offense has been. Case Keenum and the Rams put up 21 points on the Detroit Lions. And looking at the box score, Case Keenum completed 27 of 32 passes for 321 yards and three scores. Russell Wilson has got to be licking his chops in this game. So again, in comparison, I understand that the Seattle Seahawks have the bandwagon jumping fans. We know this. A lot of bandwagon fans in Seattle or for Seattle nationwide. I get it. They've won. They've been entertaining. You can't tell me this is a better matchup than the Texans and Raiders. It's not. I don't give Detroit any chance to win this game. I do not see them going into CenturyLink, riding a three-game losing skid, and knocking off the Seattle Seahawks, who are relatively healthy. I mean, there's some injuries in the secondary for Seattle that you got to pay attention to. No Earl Thomas, but Cam Chancellor has really played well. Cliff Avril and Frank Clark have combined for more than 20 sacks. They're going to put pressure on Matt Stafford, and there's no running game. Zach Zenner has to be the guy for Detroit. If the Lions want to make this a contest and spread out the game, shorten the game, and bring some sort of, I guess you could say, parity offensively, you're putting your trust in Zach Zenner against Seattle on the road in CenturyLink? No, thank you. I'll take Connor Cook on the road against the Houston Texans before I put my faith in Zach Zenner to alleviate some of the pressure from Matt Stafford, who doesn't have a very good offensive line and has no rushing attack. The Texans and the Raiders are a better game. I think Seattle wins this game. I think they win it easily. I think they win it going away. We're running out of time on the show today. Definitely fun to talk to Coach Kyle Wilson. Hopefully we'll be able to talk some more high school basketball on the show tomorrow. Do not forget tonight, we have JUCO basketball, 7:30 tip-off, USU Eastern, taking on the defending national champions, the Salt Lake Community College Bruins. Make sure you get out. Give the Eagles some home court. If you can't make it, we're right here for you on KOAL, and you can also stream the live audio at CastleCountryRadio.com. That's going to do it for us today. I'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. Be safe. I am out.
Now Young with two. Let's it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up, this is Nick Young. So I can hear you listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. We're going to talk some NFL football, and maybe I'm just one of the very few, but I'm actually looking forward to this Houston-Oakland playoff game. I'll tell you why. You go back and you look at history. Remember the year that the Seahawks were 7-9? They won a crappy NFC West by beating the Rams in Week 17. Like, the two squads ended at 7-9, but the Seahawks won the tiebreaker, so they advanced. And at that particular time, they became only the third team in NFL history to get into the playoffs with a losing record. The Browns did it in 1982 when they were 4-5. They had to travel to Los Angeles and play the 8-1 Raiders, of course, in the shortened season. And Cleveland was torched. They gave up like 510 yards. They were destroyed. The 4-5 Lions made the postseason. They had to go on the road and play the number one seeded Redskins, who were also 8-1. And that game was over pretty much before it even began. The Redskins won that game 31-7. The Panthers did it in 2015. They were 7-8-1 and they got into the postseason. But the Seahawks in 2010, they got to the playoffs. They were 7-9. Again, the NFC West was horrible that season. They got to play host to the New Orleans Saints. And that was the same game where Marshawn Lynch took a handoff from Matt Hasselbeck, ran over everyone on the Saints defense, had a 67-yard touchdown. The crowd erupted. They call it the Beast Quake game. And it was fun. You know, it was the only time I think I've ever openly cheered for the Seattle Seahawks. I typically don't cheer for a lot of teams. But I was cheering for the Seattle Seahawks. They were 7-9. I was really interested in that game. And I'm really interested in this Raider-Texans game. Though I seem to be about the only one outside of Raiders and Texan fans. The storylines regarding this game are interesting, whether you want to believe it or admit it or not. The idea that Brock Osweiler was given $72 million in the offseason, underperformed to the point where Bill O'Brien benched him in favor of Tom Savage, only having to go back to Brock Osweiler because Savage suffered a concussion, and the uncertainty about his availability means that Osweiler is going to get the number one snaps throughout the week. They're going to roll with him in this contest. The Oakland Raiders. This is a team that was 12-4. They were fighting for home field. When Rob Gronkowski went down, people instantly thought the Raiders could win the AFC. They thought that they could end up with the best record in the AFC. Unfortunately, the Patriots lost Gronk. The Raiders lost Derek Carr. So now you have Connor Cook, who's a rookie. Remember, he took the Michigan State Spartans to the college football playoffs last year. This guy's played in big games. And even though Alabama blew out Michigan State in the second half, Connor Cook had this team he had them in position to make a game out of it in the second half. They played Alabama very good for a couple of quarters. And I only mention that game because it's a big game for Connor Cook. The last time we watched him play in a big game. Those storylines right there have me sold on this game. I think Connor Cook, I mean, you can't talk about this game without bringing up Connor Cook, who was going to be the starter. He actually, in my opinion, I'm giving the Raiders the advantage at the quarterback position in this game because I don't know what Connor Cook is going to do. I do know what Brock Osweiler has done all year. He had a 72.2 rating. That's the second to last amongst NFL regular season starters. Ryan Fitzpatrick was the only quarterback to have a lower rating. This was a guy, again, that was benched for Tom Savage after signing a $72 million contract. Give me the rookie. He has to start because Derek Carr is injured. Matt McGloin was not very good last week. And McGloin, he took normal second-team reps in practice yesterday. And Cook was really an interesting player in the NFL draft. He was touted as a high first-round pick. There were teams throughout the first round, before the massive trades between the Eagles and the Rams, when they moved up, swapping with the Browns and Titans, and they were spread out, you know, throughout the first round. Yeah, the Eagles, the Rams, and the Broncos. There was actually talk that just maybe Connor Cook would be a first-round pick. Just maybe, because you would assume that guys like Jared Goff would go in the top 10. Maybe Carson Wentz would go in the top 10. You'd have three teams outside of the top 10 looking to draft a quarterback. Maybe Connor Cook could go in the first round. Maybe a team would reach. Perhaps he surprises people. Perhaps he leads the Raiders to a win. You never know. And realistically, in this game, the Raiders just have to step up in the backfield. And they've been able to do that all year long. They're running for 120 yards per game. That's sixth in the NFL. Now, the question is, do the Texans stack the box and force Connor Cook to beat them with his arm? Yes, absolutely, that's what they're going to do. But the Raiders could do the same thing. Brock Osweiler has been terrible. And you can look at the numbers of this game. It's interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. The main number from a business standpoint, we talked business at the beginning of the show, right? We were talking numbers and Tyrod Taylor's contract. Get a load of this number. It's being reported right now that ESPN will lose upwards of $75 million for airing this Texans-Raiders game on Saturday. You say, how is that possible? Now, in addition to paying the NFL a reported $1.9 billion per year for the rights to Monday Night Football, ESPN is shelling out an additional $100 million per year to air one wild card game from now until 2022. Now, the NFL decides which game they want to give the network, and ESPN doesn't have a say in whether they will air the contest or not. So, I guess you could say for the lack of hype surrounding this game, the NFL gives them the Raiders and the Texans. Thanks to that, ESPN is reportedly only going to recoup about $25 million in their investment. If the trend continues, the network's going to take a huge financial hit every year. I mean, you're talking about $600 million over the next 4 or 5 years. Over the last couple of years, ESPN has been losing subscribers left and right. So this game doesn't look great on paper to the casual fan. It doesn't look great on paper financially for ESPN, who is going to lose $75 million. But I'm excited for it because I think there are storylines within this game. Plus, even though it's not a marquee matchup, one team's been pretty good all season. And now they have a rookie quarterback making his first start. The other team has struggled all season. They're in a bad division, but they somehow found a way to make the playoffs. I love Lamar Miller. I love DeAndre Hopkins. I love Will Fuller. They have offensive weapons. Plenty of reasons to pick against the Texans in this game. Is it hard to take a team that's starting Connor Cook on the road? Maybe, but the Raiders have been a better team all year long. And if they can establish the rushing game, I like the Raiders to get the win on the road in this game. Houston's a 3.5-point favorite. Now, if the Texans should get the win, they go on the road next week at New England or Kansas City. And it's probably going to be not a favorable matchup, to say the least. I'm looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be fun. I've had this conversation with you on the show before. I enjoy a good dumpster fire. I don't think this game is a dumpster fire. I'm not classifying it in that folder. I just believe there's enough storylines to make this somewhat interesting. Plus, there's a lot of players in this game that I enjoy watching. Khalil Mack being another one. How can you not enjoy watching Khalil Mack? Raiders and Texans. It's going to be a financial flop for ESPN, but I'm really looking forward to the first NFL playoff game this season. We've got a break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.